Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Christopher Scott, and I'm here with Godfrey Spence. How are you, Godfrey?
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Excellent. We're going to be talking about the Level 3 SAT.
Yes.
The big thing that's different in the Level 3 is the aging capacity.
Yes.
And they're quite a stickler for making sure that you use precise terminology.
Exactly the right words, yes. It's no good saying can drink now and just stopping there.
Because you need to say whether it drinks now and what's going to happen in the future.
Yes. Yeah. So some wines, most wine, of course, is can drink now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way the wine market is.
Yeah.
The vast majority of wines are released when they're ready. But is it ready and you want to drink it up before the next vintage comes out? Or is it ready, but actually if I had a case tucked away, I can be taking out the odd bottle for the next few years.
Yeah. And one of the things, like, I've told my students, look at the acidity levels, the tannin levels, and the fruit intensity levels.
Absolutely. And you need the structure. You need the preservatives in wine, the tannin, the acidity, sugar if it's there, alcohol if it's fortified. But then you need something to preserve.
Mm-hmm.
So have you got intense flavors?
Have you got the fruit and the length? So I've been telling my guys, if as long as it's got one or two of those, as long as it's got the fruit there, it's not like neutral.
Yeah,
it's got some fruit and it's got a preservative. Then ready to drink, can age.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a wine that's not ready to drink? Because that's a personal choice for some people, really. I'd be surprised if a wine's ever not ready to drink.
In an exam, absolutely. Yeah. So it's a 2011 vintage port. I've got a bottle tucked under the stairs. That's not ready to drink for another 20 years. But no, in the exam, it's highly unlikely. It could happen.
Yeah.
But
you're not in your experience?
Well, I don't think, because the examiner is given the specification of wines to buy.
Yeah.
And he or she then goes out and buys them. Okay, possibly if you happen to be, I don't know, shopping in Berries and you sort of pick up a young bottle of Bordeaux because you've been told you need a Cru Classic Bordeaux and you pop into
BBR
and they've only got their 2010s in.
Yeah.
You would probably choose something else anyway.
Yeah.
And I think most examiners, you can't reuse the same wine over and over again.
Not within 3 months.
Not within 3 months or three exams or whatever. Most people don't do Level 3 exams so frequently that they run out of options anyway.
Mm.
And what most examiners will do is find wines where there's plenty to see.
Yes.
Go and choose a wine that has got lots of characters rather than choosing the
Pinot Grigio, neutral Pinot Grigio.
Quite, yes.
The three-quid bottle. The last one, the registry, so they got too high, drink now and age, drink now, too old. And I suppose that's to do with the development as well. Like if you've only got those aged characteristics and the acidity's gone, the tannins are gone, the fruit's gone, then that's when you're tired, too old.
Yes, yeah. But bear in mind that development on the nose, we talked about earlier, is an observation. It's not the conclusion. So some wines might be youthful, but ready to drink, not suitable for further aging.
Oh, yeah, like Sauvignon Blanc, New Zealand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Other wines might be youthful and need more time.
So the thing you got to watch out for, drink now and age, or drink now, are probably, they're the main two, really, that you're going to come across.
Well, yes, but do, again, use the full, as you said, they're sticklers for the right terms.
Yeah.
So not just drink now, but drink now not suitable for further aging.
Mm. And how long is that suitable aging? Because a year is a year's time, and some wines that can show massive development, and a year could be nothing.
Yes, but it's sort of, is this a wine you want to drink before the next vintage comes out? The thing I work to.
Okay, so a lot of New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs, I'm into infanticide really with those. You want to get them as young as possible.
Yes.
Would you say a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, even though it's got the acidity, it might have lots of powerful characteristics, if you've identified it as a savvy,
then ready now, do not keep. Yeah, that's the official line. What makes it attractive is this lively, fresh fruit. Let's enjoy it while we can.
The thing you got to watch out for is, I gave a Sancerre. I gave a Sancerre to my group, which is quite a high-end Sancerre that I've had when it's been 10 years old. And it's absolutely delicious. It's one of the few Sancerres. It's one of the few that I've had that I know ages really, really well. And if young on, it tastes a bit like a minerally version of a New Zealand Savvy in terms of the acidity and the fruit profile. So if they've picked it as a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, they won't know.
No, that it's going to... Yeah, that particular one's the one exception.
Exactly. So you got to be
Again, you know, as an examiner, you choose a wine that
I should have gone for the Gewurz.
Again, don't be misled by sort of personal preferences on conclusions. I mean, I've had some students the choices, the identification, which is the next bit that we're going to come on to. That's a multiple choice thing. You get three choices.
Yeah.
It's one of these three. One exam I did, the choices were Alsace Gewurztraminer, Chablis Premier Cru, and South African Chenin. So three reasonably different wines. One thing the Trust doesn't do at this level is say, these are either New Zealand Sauvignon Sancerre or Chilean Sauvignon. You know, it's going to be a Sauvignon, a Gewurz, whatever.
Yeah.
So three quite different things. But there were a bunch of French students who decided that this particular wine must be Premier Cru Chablis.
Because they liked it.
Because they liked it, and it clearly wasn't the Gewurz. But it was good wine, therefore it couldn't be South African.
I had a guy recently who liked big, gutsy reds. And anything that wasn't a big, gutsy reds, crap.
Rubbish, yeah.
Don't like that. I like that. It's fine.
Yeah.
Spit it out.
Yeah,
couldn't quite do that. That's the problem with 2 hours, isn't it?
Two-hour sessions. Only, what, 6 or 8 wines?
You can drink them, whereas a day you can't.
No.
So let's talk about these price categories, because that is quite a tricky one. And WST doesn't give any guidance to the lecturer on what the price category is, because it varies depending on the market.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, if you're in France or Spain, Portugal, inexpensive is
1 euro.
Sort of under 3 euros, whereas here it's, well, the average price for a bottle of wine is just over £5.
Yeah.
So inexpensive has to be less than the average, hasn't it?
Well, no, not really. It's, well, you could look at it from the range as well, the range of prices.
Yes.
What price range do you use? Because I think as long as the person setting the exam is the person who's running the course, there'll be a consistency there.
Yes, yeah. And if you happen to be doing the course in Sweden or Finland, then the prices are going to be higher than if you're doing them in France, because taxes are higher and whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
When we first introduced it, it actually worked out quite neatly as £5 intervals, so sort of 5, 10, 15, 20.
Mm-hmm.
But we have had quite a lot of tax increases on that now. So I think generally most people in the UK now think in terms of sixes. £5.99 and below is inexpensive, sort of 6 to 12 quid mid-priced, and then sort of 12 to 20 probably rather than 18, because the difference between 18.99 wine and 19.99 wine is where you're buying it rather than what the wine is.
Mm.
You know, it's then over 20, of course, is a fairly wide spectrum from then on.
Yeah, 20 plus. So inexpensive is less than 6, 6 to 12, 12 to 20, and then 20 plus. Yeah. So that 20 plus is what I learned 10 years ago, was the premium price point.
Yes.
So that hasn't changed.
No, well, it covers a range of wines, of course, you know, from something that's just over 20 to something that's hundreds.
Yeah, but to be honest, realistically, it's hard to tell the difference between a 30 quid bottle of wine and a 100 quid bottle of wine, because it's driven by other factors rather than what's in the bottle.
Marketing, rarity. Yeah, etc.
Supply and demand. I remember actually when I did the course, they were like, yeah, don't worry about the price after 20 quid, because you just won't know. it could be a very exceptionally good value wine with lots of complexity, or it could be a exceptionally expensive wine.
Yeah, just because it's expensive. Yeah. The other thing, of course, is don't, again, back to the point about it, inconsistencies in the tasting notes. You're asked for identity and you're asked for price point. If you think the wine is a Premier Cru Chablis, let's say, then don't put down inexpensive.
Ah, yes. So
because it can't be.
That's true. So you can use the information to help give you some judgment about what the price point
might be, yes.
Yeah, no, that's true. Because actually in the marking schedule, they'll say if you're choosing this wine, then it can't be at this bottom price point.
Yes, yeah. Usually because you can't get them. You know, you're not going to get an inexpensive Cru Classé or Cru Bourgeois Bordeaux or an inexpensive Barolo. Whereas something like Alsace-Gewürztraminer can come from, you know, I suppose you can't get inexpensive Alsace-Gewürz.
I've seen them around £8.
Yeah, so
not quite
just into mid, but
mid-priced. Yeah. No, you won't get cheap, will you?
No, don't do it that way.
Okay, all right then. I think that's the level three, isn't it? The SAT.
I think we've covered the changes. Yes, the additional bits,
the differences. Well, I think we'll wrap it up then, Godfrey.
Hey, thanks very much.